How to Make an Apple Pie from Scratch, written and read by Harry Cliff.
For Vicky and Robert, thank you. If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. Carl Sagan. Prologue. On a frosty morning in March 2010, I pulled up outside a fenced compound on the outskirts of the French commune of Ferney-Voltaire. A sign bolted to the steel security gates announced, CERN Site 8, access réservé aux personnes autorisées. Leaning awkwardly across to reach through the passenger window of my right-hand drive car, I swiped my security badge against the reader. The gates remained closed. Had my access request not gone through? Noticing a queue of cars beginning to form behind me, I gave the reader a series of increasingly anxious swipes. Nothing. I was just about to get out to attempt to negotiate with the security guard in my halting high school French when, to my relief, the gates began to creak open. I parked behind the main experimental hall, facing the chain-link fence that marks the boundary of Geneva Airport's runway. Outside, my breath misted in the cold air, which carried an now-familiar sickly sweet smell from a perfume factory in the nearby Swiss town of Meyrin. Pushing my hands into my coat pockets, I made for the prosaically named Building 3894, a single-story porter cabin used for the early morning run meetings. Inside, most of the participants were already crowded around the long table, waiting for the meeting to start. Some chatted with their neighbours in English, French, German, Italian. Others sipped coffees or sat hunched over laptops. I took my seat a row back from the table itself, hoping that I wouldn't be called upon. 100 metres beneath our feet, in a concrete tunnel so long it could encircle a city, the largest and most powerful machine ever built was being coaxed into life, the Large Hadron Collider, or LHC. In just a few days, this ring-shaped particle accelerator would slam subatomic particles into one another with such incredible violence that it would briefly recreate conditions that existed during the first instant after the Big Bang. These tiny cataclysms would be recorded by 4 giant particle detectors housed in cathedral-sized underground caverns spaced several kilometres apart around the LHC ring. One of these detectors was directly below us, the Large Hadron Collider Beauty Experiment, or LHCB. 6,000 tonnes of steel, iron, aluminium, silicon and fibre optic cables poised like a sprinter in the blocks, waiting for its moment to arrive. It had been a long wait. Some of my colleagues had spent their entire careers building towards this moment. 20 years of planning, funding bids, scrupulous design, testing and engineering had resulted in one of the most advanced particle detectors ever built. In the next few days, all that work would finally be put to the test, as engineers on the LHC prepared to collide particles inside the detector for the very first time. I was 24 years old, a second-year PhD student, having arrived in Geneva for the first of 2 3-month stints a few weeks earlier. My new home was CERN, the European Organisation for Nuclear Research, the largest and most advanced particle physics lab in the world. Over the past few weeks, I'd slowly learned to find my way around the labyrinth of office buildings, workshops and laboratories that make up the sprawling CERN site, battled through February snowstorms, and discovered that flushing your toilet after 10 p.m. in Switzerland will get you a stern telling off from your neighbours. I was also getting to grips with my new duties on LHCB, including responsibility for one of its numerous subsystems, each of which would have to function flawlessly. If one failed, then the long-awaited data could end up being unusable. I had first come face-to-face with LHCB a year and a half earlier. My supervisor, Uli, a German postdoctoral researcher who was based at CERN full-time, had guided me through the complex set of procedures required to access the detector. Donning a badge that would monitor my radiation exposure during my trip below ground, I first had to persuade a rather temperamental iris scanner to let me through a set of bright green airlock-style security doors. Then a small metal lift shuddered its way 105 metres beneath the earth, down into what is rather ominously known as the pit. The doors opened on a strange subterranean world of whirring machinery, metal gantries painted in primary colours, and concrete tunnels threaded with thousands of metres of cables and ducts. Another set of security doors, this time bright yellow and emblazoned with radiation warning signs, and then a narrow passage snaking its way through a 12-metre-thick shield wall, before abruptly opening into a soaring concrete cavern. The first thing that strikes